This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Wednesday. We'll talk to our good buddy Marcellus Wiley, former NFL defensive end, pro bowler. Now is a podcast at DanPatrick.com. Phone calls, we'll get to those as well. We'll hear from Magic Johnson. He talked about LeBron James eventually passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the all-time points list. Kareem finished with 38,387 points. I think he's held the scoring title since 1984, maybe? Sounds like that, 1984. LeBron has 37,144 points. So he trails Kareem by 1,243 points. If LeBron averages 27.1 points per game, and then averages, his career average is 27.1. If he averages 27.3, then it'll take him 46 games to break the record. If LeBron plays in each of the next 45 games and averages 27, he would be 28 points shy of the record. Heading into a Wednesday at home against the Spurs, the Lakers' final home game before a five-game road trip. Wow. We've mapped this out. We're, you know what? January 25th, home game against the Spurs. Who's with me? Let's go. Magic Johnson was on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, the Shay Shay podcast. And Shannon asked Magic about LeBron passing Kareem on the all-time scoring list.
Nobody cares about number two. It's number one. Mm-hmm. How do you think he will handle that?
Well, I don't think well. I mean, let's just be honest. If I got to say it, we got to be honest.
Right.
You know, I think it'll be a hard pill to swallow. He eventually.
Because he's had that record for almost 40 years.
And I think he thought he was going to have it forever.
So that's Magic with Shannon Sharp. And I was surprised that it was going to affect Kareem this much. But then I started to wonder, if you think about a singular figure who missed out on the modern times in their sport. Now, I would mention Elgin Baylor, but, you know, Kareem missed out on the golden age, the TV era. It happened, it started with Magic and Larry when they were in college and then certainly continued, and then Michael came in. But Kareem, by the time he was in the golden age of TV, it was Magic Johnson's LA Lakers. They were Showtime Lakers. It was different. And people don't remember how dominating Kareem was when he played for the Bucks. Plus, he had a shot that nobody else had. I think he's the greatest basketball player of all time. If I bring in college, high school, and the NBA, there's nobody better. I know Bill Russell's more decorated, but Kareem's a better player than Bill Russell. Bill Russell's the all-time winner. I mean, look at what he did at UCLA. He couldn't play for the when he was a freshman, or he would have won four national titles. But what did he lose, two games? One because he had a detached retina, or he had a scratched retina when he lost to Elvin Hayes in the Astrodome. And the other one, I think, was when they lost to USC 44-42 when Paul Westphal was there. Didn't they have a slowdown? You could slow the ball down, and they beat Kareem when he was at UCLA. When he was at Power Memorial High School, I think they lost one or two games. He went like 89-1. And then what he did in the NBA, he's the greatest basketball player of all time. And this was the last, this was the thing that people would still bring up, that he's the all-time scorer, all-time leader. And then all of a sudden, here's LeBron. And LeBron's going to catch him. And so when Magic said that, I was like, wow, I wonder if that even matters to Kareem. Because every time I've spoken to Kareem, he doesn't like talking about himself. And there's so many other things, you know, that he'll talk politics, he'll talk social activism, he'll talk about a variety of things because he's so well-read, music, big jazz collector. But I was surprised that it was going to affect Kareem, or at least Magic thinks it's going to be a hard pill for him to swallow. Yeah, Paulie.
You're right about Kareem. He was, if you say the TV era kind of starts 81, 82, 83, he was 35 years old at that time. He was well into his Laker career, but like his early days with the Lakers at age 29, he averaged 26, 15, and four blocks.
Yeah.
But that's, again, 5-6 years before the TV era hit. When Michael Jordan took over the NBA, Kareem was 38 years old, 39 years old, but still decent stats. He had, at age 38, Kareem averaged 23 points and seven rebounds.
But he wasn't, and I don't know if social media would have helped him. You know, he wasn't a charismatic guy. He was just well-read and well-thought-out. And, you know, sort of a recluse, didn't trust the media. What happened in Milwaukee when he got into a fight with Kent Benson, changing his name, changing religion. There were a lot of things, but I don't think he was embraceable. Like Shaq's one of the first big guys that you embraced. But he made fun of himself, and he's a great pitch man. You know, Wilt wasn't embraceable. Patrick Ewing, go down the list. But Shaq was, because Shaq was larger than life. He was almost like an animated figure. But Kareem was just moody. You know, didn't have a great relationship with the media. But he, you know, when he came into the studio a couple of years ago, I could tell, like, it was going to be a difficult interview. Like, I had to find a sweet spot. And then all of a sudden, we started talking about baseball, the Brooklyn Dodgers, growing up in New York, wanting to play first base for the Dodgers, and then we were off to the races. But I started talking about playing at Rucker Park, and he didn't want to talk about that. I mentioned West 4th Street, where, you know, I'd played over there a couple of times, wanted to know if he'd ever played there. He wasn't interested in talking about that. And a lot of guys, when you're around them, they love to tell you how good they used to be. Kareem doesn't have to do that. But then there's part of me that you just don't want people to forget how great some of these players. Elgin Baylor missed out on the golden age because he was different. And his athleticism, you had not seen that before in the NBA. Elgin Baylor was incredible. Had the knee injury. Lakers end up winning a title. Elgin's not part of that. And it was Jerry West Lakers. They had Wilt. And Elgin was sort of forgot. He was the guy who was always there with the draft lottery with the Clippers. That was it. Missed the TV era. Yeah, Mark.
I'm with you with the Elgin Baylor part. I didn't know how good he was. I didn't even know he was an NBA player growing up because I would just see him at the LA, my God, I'm blinking so bad, at the draft lottery.
Yeah.
And I would just see him just sitting there with the LA Clippers logo.
Yeah.
But same thing. My godson, who's 19, he didn't know Charles Barkley was Charles Barkley. He just thought it was some overweight guy that would just talk. He had no clue. I said, thank God for YouTube. You got to see. So I think Kareem might end up being forgotten. I hope we don't forget him like that.
Yeah, Paul.
Do you consider the greatest scorer in NBA history the person with the most points or the person who averages the most points per game? Because those are two different things.
Well, because I could have you play 3 years and you could average 30 a game.
But let's say the minimum was you played a decade. You know, you had a full career. The greatest scorer in NBA history per game, Jordan is at just over 30 points a game. Wilt Chamberlain's second at 30. Elgin Baylor's third at 28. Yeah. Kevin Durant is fourth all-time scorer per game average at 27. LeBron's fifth at 27. Then it goes like Jerry West, Allen Iverson, Bob Pettit, Oscar Robertson, George Gervin.
Yeah, I would still look at the longevity. I think to be that consistent, to average 27 a game, and you're not known as a great shooter. Of all the people you mentioned, run down the list there. Let me see if there's somebody where I go, but they weren't known as a good shooter. Elgin was just – Elgin, I don't know if he was a great shooter. He had a jump shot, but he was so athletic. Iverson was a scorer. I didn't think he was a great shooter.
Iverson was 27 points a game for his career.
Durant's a great shooter. Jerry West.
Karl Malone's 11th.
Karl Malone, great 15 to 18 footer, pick and roll. Wilt was not a great shooter.
Dominique Wilkins is 14th.
Dominique was not a great shooter.
Yeah. He was a one-man show.
Yes, he was. Alex English is in there. Flick was a good shooter. John Havlicek, I don't remember him being a great shooter, but he scored 26,000 points. Yeah, Mark.
With one hand.
One hand tied behind his back.
Watching those games was just unbelievable.
He played left-handed one time. I think in the NBA Finals. He had a separated shoulder. He played. He only had one arm to use. Yeah, Paul.
Michael Jordan played a game no-handed. 86.
Here we go.
He didn't use his left or his right. He only scored 12.
Okay. All right. So he had no hands and he scored 12.
No, he used his chin.
Oh.
True story.
Okay. I believe you. Yes, Mark.
But looking at a couple of those games when Bill Russell passed away, NBA TV was playing some of those old Celtics games. And I was like, John Havlicek, they were like one of the great small forwards of all time. And I was like, he could only go one way.
Yeah, I know he did. He always went right. And I kept thinking, did anybody have a scouting report back then?
Even when he went left,
Cousy,
he went right.
Bob Cousy went right all the time. And I kept thinking, who came up with the strategy here? You guys, anybody watching film here?
Let's watch some film.
Like first thing I would do is go, I'm going to make Cousy go to his left the entire time
the
here.
Most unstoppable force the league has ever seen.
I always love those newsreels. You know, if you went to the movie theaters, if you're old enough, then they'd have, you know, something where the announcer would be like that. Bob Cousy, he was unstoppable.
Look at him go.
He's a magician out there. He's got eyes in the back of his head. Yes, Mark.
Who talked like that? Was that somebody?
Yes.
Was there Walter Cronkite or somebody big time where everyone was like, I have to emulate this guy? And everyone talked like that. Yeah, same.
Yeah, you dirty rat.
See here, copper. Yeah.
Art in Arizona. Hi, Art. What's on your mind today? Hi, Art.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Art.
Sorry. Two things. I had a question. Who loses their team first, Robert Sarver or Snyder? And also, for the dads out there, what's the perfect Halloween setup? Wife wants to take kids trick-or-treating. I want to set up the TV in the front yard, fire pit, and hand out candy. Because it's prime time Monday night, but since it is October, you can always find something to watch.
All right. Yeah. By the way, Robert Sarver already lost his team. Yes, Seton.
My wife takes our son out trick-or-treating, or at least when he was younger, she had to. And I did exactly that. I didn't set up a TV, but I set up a fire pit and a chair and drank beers and gave out candy. And it was a great setup.
Yeah. I'd smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
And
best.
They wanted to sit there, and I'd tell them stories about all the times I won the Marconi. And, won some sports Emmys. The show didn't, but I did. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, we opened up the garage door, some adult treats, you know, some drinks, the fire pit outside, and kind of make it home base for the kids to come back to. It's a good setup.
Yeah. Frazier in Virginia joins us. Hi, Frazier.
Dan, it is so good to hear your voice. I'm out here showing houses in Roanoke, Virginia. I'm a realtor, so I'm going to get my clients to go inside the other room. I know your big announcement. I know you guys, I'll be right with you. Okay. So I know your huge announcement at 6 o'clock. Okay. We talked about it before. You're going to admit to the world that you have forgiven the Houston Astros and that they are one of the best teams in the past 10 years. Yes, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news.
All right. Thank you, Frazier.
I knew we couldn't keep it secret.
Frazier, good luck trying to sell that house now, because those people thought, God, you think the Astros are one of the great teams? We're not buying a house from this realtor. Now, that's not the announcement, but it comes out on the newsletter tonight at 6 o'clock. Big heads up there. Sign up for the newsletter. Go to danpatrick.com. Nate in California. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man.
Hello?
Hey, Nate.
Hey, hey. Hey, going back to that Mike Evans thing real quick. I give golf lessons. I work at a golf course, and I'm not sure if the official's giving him lessons, if Mike Evans giving lessons. Those guys can't break Edie. I know that. I just want to know, is there such thing as business cards? Because it could be so simple, just handing out the business cards and calling it that, you know?
Yeah, I'm still not sure about it. Thank you, Nate. I don't know if we need to get into these guys can't break 80, but that's why you need a golf lesson if you can't break 80. But I have no idea. It was just weird that it came out. Hey, they didn't ask for an autograph. Okay, what were they doing? 2 hours later, it was about getting golf lessons. Okay, why couldn't you tell me that 2 hours earlier? Yes, Paulie.
Who wants to know who produced a video more? The NFL with who shot that video in the underside of the stadium with the refs and Mike Evans, or the Warriors with the punch on Draymond? Mm. Both of them had caught a lot of heat from stories that would not have got out.
Well, it was a local TV station that videotaped.
They were shooting?
Mike Evans and the officials.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was a local Fox station. We still don't know what happened with Golden State. Draymond Green. All I know is if there's like a 19-year-old former production assistant with the Warriors driving around in a Porsche, be like, did you release that video? Nope, not me. All right, more phone calls coming up. And we do have a big announcement, and we'll give you – there's some hints on the newsletter. But no, Seton is not leaving the show. We have some people who are worried that they went through the traumatic experience of McLovin leaving the show. We're not going to do that to you. These are my guys. This is how I ride.
People saying they don't have the emotional bandwidth to handle two in a year.
People got emotional. I would think happy that McLovin left the show.
People,
I
didn't, plural?
More than one persons?
I don't know. I don't know if was it a traumatic experience that we lost McLovin? Did I underrate his value on this show? Because Fritzy would always say, you know, he's not that good. Not that valuable.
Yeah, I love him.
A little overrated. You did like him. You thought he was overrated.
Yeah, he just get too sensitive when I pointed out what he was eating for him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, chicken salad in the Tupperware, no carbs, no pita bread.
It was painful to walk by when Fritzy would analyze McLovin's lunch.
That was a little obnoxious by me. I didn't mean it to be more than it was.
It drove McLovin crazy.
No one wants to get looked at.
He wouldn't even talk to you. And I thought, why is he so... Nobody loved their food more than McLovin. Nobody cared about food more than McLovin. And Fritzy would go, oh, what do you got there? All right, a little pita bread, a little hummus.
A little tuna today, mixing it up. It's nice. No croutons in the salad, carbs.
Sounds good.
Yeah. How about we take a break? We'll come back. Marcellus Wiley will join us in the On Deck Circle. This is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. The Danettes were just telling me a story. We were in New York a couple of years ago, and Seton thought Paulie was going to get into a fight. Were we going to a party with Shaq and Reggie Miller? And what happened?
It was a party around the premiere of the Uncle Drew movie.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And Shaq was there, Chris Webber. All I remember, and Seton probably remembers it better than I do, we haven't even started drinking yet, so it was not alcohol infused.
Well, most of us.
Yeah. We were in two different cars. Seton and Fritzy got out of the cab, and they were just like 10 seconds ahead of me and McLovin. And I got out, and some drunk guy was saying something to Fritzy, like just rude stuff. I just out of nowhere. Fritzy just happened to be in his path. Mm-hmm. And I guess I said something to the guy, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, we had said somewhere along the line, like we had like engaged with this dude, and he was getting really, really aggressive enough to where, like, you know, before something happens, you do that sort of like step back and your chest sort of comes out and like you're making a fist, like, oh, okay, I'm ready to, you know. And there was one of those moments where he looked at me and was just like, kind of like a you got my back kind of thing with this. And it was very close to going, but the dude was hammered. And I was like, dang, I got the like feeling, you know, where you're like, oh, damn, we're about to get into a fight.
Paulie was definitely ready to punch.
See, of all the people, you would think, okay, who would get into a fight on this show? Paulie's the one, it feels like, could get into a fight before anybody else could.
Yeah. I'm not a tough guy, but like, if you see something about to happen, sometimes it's better to be the aggressor and the other guy walks away.
Yes,
sometimes you can bluff.
Yes,
yeah, I feel like it might be Paul is right up there. I'm probably most likely to get punched of anybody in the group. Paul is most likely to get into a fight, though.
Marcellus Wiley, former NFL defensive end, host of More To It, the podcast on the Dan Patrick Network. He sat down with Bruce Smith. We'll talk about that in a moment. Last time you got into a fight, Marcellus.
Oh, 11th grade. I'm not a fighter, so I looked the part, but certainly if I ever had an altercation, I'm the one running first. I just don't believe in fighting at all. Saw too many fights escalate to bad experiences, death experiences. So I'm not a fighter. But in 11th grade, I was walking through, it was the locker room, it's narrow walkway. And another guy, just a regular student, was walking. And you know how you got to do that cordial turn? Like, we both give 15 degrees, we're good. He ain't give me the 15 degrees. So we bumped shoulders. And I'm like, dude. And then he looked at me like he wanted some action. And that time I did cave in and I gave him what he wanted. And I gave him the business. And that was the last time I ever had a fight. And I've been in many altercations, many disputes. Many guys have tested me, but no fight since 11th grade.
How silly are NFL fights?
Oh, God. I mean, it's one, you know, it's self-destruction because you're hitting the guy with a helmet on. You know he has padding. And you know you're not going to get a great punch off unless you pull a Draymond Green, Steve Smith Sr. Other than that, it's just futile in terms of what are you really proving. So I never got into fights in the NFL because I knew the end game was to be the most powerful in the locker room. So the playmakers, the ones who are balling, they don't have to fight. Why am I fighting? You already know. Go get my Popeyes. Go get my food. Go get my donuts. That's, to me, the fight for to be the most powerful.
The last guy you would ever fight in the NFL was who?
Oh, if I – oh. John Randall early, Ray Lewis middle. Late in my career, Sean Merriman had a moment there where I was like, yo, I don't know what he's on, but I did find out. I'm kind of fine out. But the point is, those three dudes kind of stood out like, yeah, they playing football a little more than the average Joe.
James Harrison would scare me.
You know what? I know James Harrison. He is a teddy bear, and I say that lightly and with a lot of miles between us right now, but he's like, since I know him, I know that that is a little bit of his protection, a little of his projection, not necessarily to the core, but he'll put hands on you for sure.
All right. Help me understand this Mike Evans situation. You just got embarrassed. He dropped the football. He had a sure touchdown. He goes off the field and two officials are there talking to him. What did you see?
Yeah. I mean, in that situation, it's all about the optics. The integrity of the game is more than just, are you making the right calls? It's also the perception of it all. And just like with a player, if you saw a player jogging on a play, you would start to question the integrity of that play, the integrity of that player. And it's the same thing with a referee. After a contest, we just don't want to see you going up for an autograph session. It just can't go down, not on the NFL's watch and not with thousands of people in plain view. So in that situation, I know he probably thought, hey, I'm in the tunnel, the game's over, what does it matter? But you got to be smarter than that. And so in that situation, I just blame the officials for really compromising and undermining what the integrity of the game looks like.
What do you expect from the Buccaneers, given what's happened, and now they play tomorrow night against Lamar Jackson? I wondered, how difficult is it to prepare for Lamar Jackson? I wondered if it was like when you try to prepare for Army football, that you don't see it every week, but when you see it, it still is successful.
Yeah, the most difficult thing is to find that athlete that can represent what Lamar Jackson is going to bring during the game. And there's no one on your team. So usually, like when we play Michael Vick, we would find a receiver and then hope he could throw. And just like he would run around and play quarterback because we couldn't use our quarterbacks. And even that is not a proximity. Like, it's not going to assemble what you're going to see in the game. In the game, you're going to see something that's blurry. Like, we know what fast is, but the geometry it takes to go get a guy that you have not seen with that level of athleticism is hard to replicate. So it's going to be tough on the Bucs because they're distracted right now, and you can see it through their play. You can see it through Tom Brady and his body language. It's a team that doesn't have his eyes on the prize, and that's why they're having their struggles.
As a former defensive player, how do you know when you got a quarterback? Like, he's defeated before the game is over.
Oh. Well, first, you don't get the direct signal from the quarterback. You get it from his offensive line. And you can tell by how the depth of the offensive lineman, like, are they really trying to put their head to the belt of the next offensive lineman? That means there's fear. Because if not, he'll just line up in the normal formation. But when they really try to stretch it, you know, you got an issue there. We could get something done. Then you start looking at the quarterback, and a lot of times it's the cadence. If they're too cute with the cadence, like, you're like, oh, dog, you're going to throw y'all off more than me, because he's trying to play that game, that cat and mouse game. But once you get a quarterback, the funniest thing about them is if it's a pocket passer, he's shot. Like, he's not, oh, this is going to be four quarters of hell. But if it's an athletic quarterback, I don't think you ever have that guy tap out. That guy never says uncle, because he always can just draw up a play because of his athleticism. So I hated going against guys who knew that they could run, because they always had options.
We're talking to Marcellus Wiley, his podcast, More To It, on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. And you teased this last week when I talked to you. You said, you know, we talk about a lot of things. You were supposed to be the next Bruce Smith. But you talked about the racism that Bruce faced. I had not heard that before. What made you go in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Smith, amazing. Obviously, I think he's the greatest defensive end of all time. He's my football father. So it was a weird introduction, Bruce Smith and I, because I get drafted in the second round to the Buffalo Bills from small school Columbia. And the headlines in Buffalo were the next Bruce Smith. And I'm reading the headline, too. I'm like, who are they talking about? Not me. Do y'all know how many sacks this dude gets every year? And it was funny. At first, our relationship, it wasn't a standoff relationship, but he made me earn my stripes. He had to see some talent and potential, and I showed him. But I never thought I was going to be the next Bruce Smith. I mean, that's like playing basketball. Like, I'm going to be the next Michael Jordan. It's like, you might be great, but you might not get to that level. So knowing Bruce and knowing everything he's been through, it was surprising to me doing my research for the podcast that Bruce Smith had experienced racism in Buffalo, because I never experienced anything like that. And for it to be full circle for everything that's happening in Buffalo and what happened with the massacre at the grocery store, Bruce Smith really felt that right in his heart because of his experience while he played. He was getting letters. He was having some experiences to the point where he thought about getting traded. He demanded a trade that didn't go through, and try to protect his family in that moment. So it's interesting to see him go through that 30, 40 years ago and still have some evidence of that
there.
Right now.
What is it like to stand there and somebody's yelling at you, and they can say whatever they want to yell at you, and there's nothing you can do?
Yeah, man, I'm desensitized to it, and I'm not trying to be tough. I just don't care enough about what someone else says in competition to what I think about myself. So every time someone says something to me that's disparaging, I'm like, that has to battle what I think of myself. And that doesn't mean that they're always wrong. It just means I'm not going to let you get to me. So I always tell people, this is what a football game is like. Depends on perspective. If you're on the field, you only hear two things, or boo. But if you're in the stands, you don't hear or boo. You hear that mother, oh, he sucks. Oh, his mama ain't nothing. And it all kind of translates and funnels into just cheers and boos. So when you have someone in your face and they're trying to obviously just undress you, I always have the biggest cheerleaders in my eyes, in my ears, saying, nah, Marcellus, can't let them get to you, bro. You got to be stronger than that.
It's got to be difficult. Who's the guest next week on the podcast?
Next week, we have LaDainian Tomlinson. Mm. And LaDainian, talking about humble beginnings to become one of the greatest running backs of our era of all time. And he was my teammate. So he gets drafted the year I am a free agent to San Diego. So you imagine my first day landing there is Junior Seau, the veteran, rest in peace. And Rodney Harrison, great defense. And then we draft LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees, and throw in a little Tim Dwight on the side as well. So we had a loaded roster, and it was a great introduction, and it was a great interview with LaDainian.
But why is it the Chargers always find the banana peel? They're the Charlie Brown of the NFL. They got so much talent, and yeah, Everybody gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no real answer to that, because Like when people always say winning culture, you mean we're winning and the guys in here are winners? Like that can change. The Chicago Bulls used to have a winning culture. Look at them now. The Lakers used to have a winning culture. Look at them now. Like I just think it's about the horses. I think it's about the players. With that said, the Chargers 14-2. Remember that year?
No.
I do, because that was the year after I was cut and then they went 14-2. So I was in my feelings. I was like, damn, how'd they get that good without me? but you saw how it ended too. Yeah. They didn't even win a playoff game that year. I don't have that real answer being a former Charger, but hopeful that this is our year.
Can you imagine being Matt Ryan? You win a game, you struggle against the Titans, and now they say he'll never play for the Colts again. Because of his contract. They're guaranteeing money next year. They have to do that. But they don't want to pay more than that. Therefore, they're shutting him down. And his career might be over.
Yeah. I blame everybody involved. Let's start with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan had to know what his level of equity was still in this league in terms of what is the perception of Matt Ryan. And it was pretty low. Let's just be real. Even though you can get a breath of fresh air and that resurgence and people reimagine who you are, he had to know he was pretty low in his equity. So I blame him for going to a situation where he had little to no leash. But I also blame them for selling him on a situation that you never think of a former franchise quarterback going to a new destination and not even getting half the season. Like, it can't go that bad for you and you pull Matt Ryan in that moment. So all parties to me involved are guilty of not necessarily speaking the truth or acknowledging the real.
But what's that like when you know your career's over?
Well, yeah, you're talking to a guy who knows that. It's weird, like, to be the walking dead, you know? Like, it happened to me in Dallas, Bill Parcells. And it happened to me before the season started. I just didn't realize it. Bill Parcells walked with me. I'm going against Flozell Adams, who was the house, the hotel, the entire apartment building. And it's the worst experience when a great player is your teammate, because it was Flozell Adams and Larry Allen next to each other. I'm like, damn.
Wow.
If I had to play against Dallas, I have to do that once a year. I have to practice against these dudes 60 reps a day. So our first rep against Flozell in training camp, Parcells comes over because I'm the big free agent. He wants to see what I got. And I did a pass rush. Flozell just consumed me, just gobbled me up, Jabba the Hutt me. And I just went in his belly, disappeared. And Parcells looked at me and said, Wiley, is that all you got?
Ooh.
And I looked at him, and he went like this. And that still rings loud, because that was the moment I realized I didn't have six gear anymore. I wasn't that guy. So now you're going around, and everyone's looking at you different. And you're the last one to realize it, but it happened to me in a game. I played against some young rookie in Tennessee, and the kid blocked the hell out of me. And then I'm going back to the huddle, and he said, damn, Wiley, what happened to you? I grew up on you. You fell off. And then that, with the Parcells ring, let me know, it's about over, bro.
Great to talk to you. We look forward to LaDainian Tomlinson on the podcast. It's called More To It, danpatrick.com. Thank you, Marcellus. Great to talk to you.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, buddy. So you can go there. The podcast is available. Also, Running Smoke, new episode of Running Smoke available today. Check out the newsletter as well. Got a great little heads up there with something that we're very proud of. We've been working on it for over a year. And we'll give you a heads up if you've signed up for the newsletter. Big formal announcement coming up tomorrow. Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. That's right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The better looking of the Manning family, Cooper Manning, will join us on the program tomorrow. John Smoltz will join us. World Series starts on Friday. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Paulie has a five-minute poll question, but before I get to that, I walked by and Seton O'Connor was, he gave an oh no, and it had to do with Russell Wilson Jr. the third.
Oh no.
It feels like, yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Name of this segment, oh no.
Oh no.
With Russell Wilson.
And it has to do with Russell Wilson Jr. the third, who is injured. Here we go. Seton, what is, oh no, about Russell Wilson?
This is Zach Stevens, Denver Broncos beat reporter.
All right.
The tweet is, Russell Wilson worked out and stretched for 4 of the 8 hours on the flight from Denver to London, said he was doing high knees in the aisle while the rest of the guys were asleep. Now, the immediate reaction is very cringy.
Why? Because he wants it more?
Than everybody else who was asleep on the flight, y'all? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why does it make you cringe?
Because it's just so on brand.
Okay.
But
everybody's sleeping and he's doing calisthenics.
He's still
stretching.
Working out because that's he has to get every hour.
But
of
do you
day.
Remember the time when he couldn't suit up, but he was on the field and he was doing game like situations and as if he was running a 2-minute drill.
He was like a mime.
Yeah, and I was like, he's you know, calling out plays and stuff, and
it's like what I used to do when I was 8.
Yeah, Yeah, Paulie.
So he's in the upright and locked position the entire flight, getting loose, staying ready. You don't want to be, you know, you cramp up on a long flight.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
He does have a hamstring injury.
Yes, he does.
Right?
And he wants to play.
And that's a long flight to be seated on a plane.
Okay. Paulie, your 5-minute poll question.
All right. This is awkward. Who do you wish would go on a nice long winning streak over the next, let's say, month or two to shut some folks up? Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, or Russell Westbrook? Which would be more make people have to change their tune?
I guess I would like to see Russell Westbrook if he was playing well when they were winning.
Right. He leads them on like a nice 10-game winning streak led by him.
Yes. Because it feels like that's all anybody talks about with the Lakers is Russell Westbrook's future. You're going to get clicks. All you got to do is say something about Russell Westbrook in the headline, and you're going to get clicks there. Nothing's changed. He might not play tonight. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. It feels like they're going to get a winning streak coming up. Russell Wilson, probably not. So I would say Russell Wilson Jr. the third or Russell Westbrook Jr. the third. Yes, he.
Aaron Rodgers, his seems to be a little more self-inflicted. In that, I know that the Packers are losing, but he's also passive-aggressively getting everything out every time he speaks.
Like, well, it'd be nice if somebody called some better plays. I don't know who would do that, but it'd be great if they did.
You know what I mean? I don't know that Russell Westbrook has done any of those things. For some reason, he's the entire reason that the Lakers stink. It's not everybody else. Mm-hmm. It's just Russell Westbrook. And if he was playing better, then everybody would be better.
I know.
And I don't get that.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Here's some news on Russell Westbrook from Darren Revell, the business reporter.
Mm.
LeBron James has a new neighbor in Los Angeles. The F1 heiress Petra Ecclestone sold her home in this suburban Brentwood neighborhood. Shouldn't say suburban. Brentwood neighborhood to Russell Westbrook yesterday for $37 million. The house is directly across the street from LeBron James. Mm. So now you have a new neighbor.
It's going to be tougher when you ask for him to be traded. You know, he comes home and like you go out to the mailbox. Hey, Russ. Hey, LeBron. Yes, Don.
He went to go check out the house, but he just overshot it. He keeps going a few houses down. No?
It's quiet in here.
It is.
He's struggling shooting. And I'm struggling talking.
Yeah.
You got 3 minutes to recover this one.
Marv?
And whatever that is, I think.
There, so that's wow. Aaron Rodgers. That's a shout out to you.
How could it not be?
Feels like Aaron Rodgers is making fun of you. Let me hear it again, Marv.
And whatever that is, I think.
Oh my God!
That is incredible.
That really is.
Aaron Rodgers is kind of channeling you there.
Wow. Is it a Favre jealousy thing because of the Favre 10-10-69 birthday thing? So he's taking a shot
at me? No, I don't think that. I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers, just a supporter of the show and probably just letting you know, hey, I'm with you in spirit. You know, I spend all of my time and all my good stuff with Pat McAfee. Can't join you guys, but I'm here. I'm here.
And whatever that is, I think.
Very subtle, very clever. Good job.
That's pretty good.
Amazing.
Jeremy in Alabama. Hi, Jeremy. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, Todd. Thank you, Todd, for it. That's just, you made my day. I had a question about this Mike Evans thing. That would you rather have Mike Evans do this, would this referee do this with Mike Evans so that everyone's seen it, or would it be more suspicious if they did it in private back in the back of the stadium somewhere? I mean, and people see them go into a closed room, you know, and I kind of want to see this out in the open because like the referee's really going to do something like, yeah, I'm going to go out here and we're heard the guy talking about gambling earlier. Like they're really going to do something illegal, stupidly in front of him.
The appearance of preferential treatment, though. That's what you need to know. Friendships, they both went to Texas A&M. It's just people will read into things. And you can't blame them. You're going to. This day in sports history, Paulie.
2005, the White Sox defeated the Astros for their first World Series in 88 years. They swept the Astros.
Yeah.
And then Talk about a player who you wish didn't get an injury. Mario Lemieux scored his 500th NHL goal. He still played well after his back injury, but he wasn't the same.
He also had cancer.
Yeah.
He could have been the greatest player of all time. Could have. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you.
The NFL players Marcellus Wiley would have least likely wanted to fight John Randall, Ray Lewis, Sean Merriman.
Seton O'Connor, what did you learn today?
For some reason, the 1900s sounds like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mar? A long time. Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers channeled Fritzy.
Whatever that is, I think.
Paulie, what did you learn?
Any excuse to play it again? Aaron Rodgers did this.
Yeah.
And whatever that is, I think.
Unreal.
Toddler, what did I learn today?
We've learned you've become more and more engaged in text communication with the staff by employing emojis.
Love emojis.
By employing emojis. Yeah.
I don't know if I employ them.
Emoji employment.
What we learned brought to you by Discover. We could talk about how with Discover you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. That's amazing. Learn more. Discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Sign up for the newsletter. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And whatever that is, I think.
One more item as we close out this show. Time for new tires? Then there's only one place to go. TireRack.com. You go to TireRack.com/Dan. Tell them what you drive, how you drive, where you drive. And then you're going to use the tire decision guide. Answer a couple of questions, and you're going to get a personalized tire recommendation probably in about 2 minutes. The right tires for how and what and where you drive. They got the full lineup of Pirelli tires, test results, ratings, consumer reviews. In many areas, they offer mobile tire installation. So you don't have to be waiting in the waiting room. Tire Rack technician will bring the new tires to your home or office, install them right there in front of you. Ultimate convenience, a game changer. TireRack.com/Dan. See for yourself. Find out what are the right tires for your car, depending on what you drive, where you drive, and how you drive. TireRack.com/Dan. Tell them we sent you. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.